Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet, and I'm David Todd. Dave, never a dull moment when you're following the Steelers. We talked about this from the get-go, the minute they drafted Mike Adams. We said what happens with the offensive line is going to be the really interesting thing in training camp. And the dominoes have started to fall into place a little bit as news came out this week. I guess it was our man Mike Pursuta on DVE Morning Show. Kind of got the story out of Ben, I guess, that Willie Colon is not going to play right tackle this year. He's going in at left guard.
Yeah, and this is, if anybody's followed Steelers Depot or me on Twitter for years, this has been something I've been hot and heavy after for a while and debated. You know, would constantly slap Jerry Dulac from the post, and you know he was one that really never thought it would happen. And but to me, this is great news. It's a move that I think you know it was needed. And let's start first of all, David, with Colon. This guy takes a lot of abuse. He has missed the last two seasons minus one game. With injuries, he tore his Achilles 2 years ago prior to training camp, and of course he tore his triceps last year in the first game against Baltimore. And you know that is a concern. I mean, but these type of things, you know, they're going to happen. He just snake bitten there as far as the injury bug went. But prior to that, people want to keep knocking Willie Colon and his play at right tackle. This guy for 2 years in a row prior to his Achilles injury. Was one of the best right tackles in the league. Now, he did have some of the false start penalties. He did give up a few sacks. But outside of that, man, this guy was pretty solid as a right tackle. So, you know, people are already saying, okay, Dave, if this guy was such a good right tackle, why is he being kicked inside the left guard? Well, here's the thing. Willie Colon has the build of a guard. He's been able to get away at right tackle because he has some mobility to him and because he has a little bit longer arms than your normal guard does. I think his arms, let's see, Marcus Gilbert measured in at a combine 33.5, and I've got Colon's measurements around here somewhere, but Colon has pretty long arms for a guard, and that's why he's been able to get away with his kind of his height-wise, not prototypical tackle size there out on the right. And, you know, this guy has been projected as possibly being an all-pro guard for a few years back in free agency before he re-signed with the Steelers last year. The Chicago Bears, you know, had a deal headed his way, and they wanted him to play guard for them. So, you know, with you, when you have Marcus Gilbert and now you have Mike Adams, those are going to be your future bookend tackles, hopefully for years to come. You know, the obvious choice was for Colon to move inside there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Willie, I don't know if Willie misspoke or just got his days confused about when guys got drafted. I guess he said once DeCastro got picked, he got told – according to the way he phrased it, and you and I discussed this a little bit on Twitter, he said they called me the next day and, you know, told me I'm going to move to left guard. Now, I'm going to just play revisionist history and say Willie got confused there because it wasn't the drafting of DeCastro that made this decision. It was the drafting of Mike Adams in the second round that made this decision possible. In fact, having DeCastro meant, you know, you wouldn't move him inside. But we learned a lot of things here when he gets this phone call that he's moving to left guard. It tells you a couple things. I think we now know that Marcus Gilbert's going to stay on the right side, and he's going to be the right tackle. And the reason Colon moved to left guard as opposed to right guard is, one, DeCastro played right guard in college. But that's not the primary reason. I think the primary reason is they didn't want to have the rookies DeCastro and Adams next to each other. Now, Adams may not start the season as the starting left tackle, whatever. We'll see how that all plays out. I'd kind of put it at a 50-50 chance right now. But I'm pretty sure when they line things up, they know DeCastro is going to be starting on day one, and he's going to be the starting right guard. And I think the idea was both these guys are reasonably mobile. They both can pull. DeCastro's obviously done this in college, playing the right side, but and the Steelers have pulled mostly from left to right. But we talked about, Dave, you've written about Haley wanting to be more balanced, and this is going to give him more balance. And now you're going to have Mike Adams is going to get a shot to be the opening day left tackle now. So it is really interesting stuff. And, you know, different people have different views. Dave, what do you think about the ability? I think we both agreed DeCastro is going to be the day one starter at right guard. Do you think Mike Adams has a chance to be the opening day starter at left tackle?
I think you phrased it perfectly how you just presented it there. I think it's a 50-50 chance. I think, and look at it this way too, the way this line's setting up, that you want as few people swapping, going out of position as possible. I think, you know, for Marcus Gilbert to play left tackle, that means he's going to have to start on his craft right now as soon as these OTAs and minicamps get going here with learning, you know, relearning the left tackle position in the NFL after playing right tackle all last season. DeCastro, as you noted, played right guard at Stanford there. Marquise Pouncey, of course, is your center. The only person right now, of course, Mike Adams played left tackle at Ohio State. So the only person technically that's having to learn a new position right now would be Willie Colon, and that was one of the reasons he was you know, he has no problem switching over to left guard. He just wanted it to happen early enough where he could start the transition early on. So this goes with the philosophy that we've heard Kugler and Tomlin and these guys say over the years with all these injuries to the offensive line, is you don't want that many guys switching out of position. Now the question goes to Adams here. You brought up a good point about not wanting two rookies starting on the same side. That's a very valid point. On the flip side, though, either Mike Adams is going to take to the left. You know, if he can make the transition to right tackle, why can't he just learn the left tackle position? You know, and you're cutting down that way. You're not taking him out of position already. And if he shows you enough in OTAs and minicamps and all, that he can play the left tackle position, well, then you know right up front what you have in him. And if you don't, if you're not satisfied with what he gives you early on, I've been tossing out the name Max Starks for eons this offseason. There might be a possibility where he is brought back to start at left tackle for the first few games of the season. And God forbid, none of us want this to happen, but, you know, Jonathan Scott, you know, maybe might be a last ditch cause. Although I would rather have Mike Adams go ahead and take a shot at the left tackle position, if it means throwing Jonathan Scott in there. But I think you put it best. I think it's a 50-50 shot, and I think that's the way that they want this to go. The only thing is, I wrote about this the other night, David, is this would be the first time since 1970, I think it is. I traced back, and Mark Cabali sent me over some more starting lineups from week ones over the season, that you've had two rookie offensive linemen start on the line for the Steelers the first week of the season. So, I mean, you're really bucking history here. But in today's NFL, yeah, I guess it's more likely to happen.
Yeah, I think it is. I think with teams running pro style offenses with much more emphasis on the passing game in college, I think the transition's not quite as hard as it used to be, you know, back in the day when Nebraska and Oklahoma are running the wishbone and guys are asked to do different things as offensive linemen. I think having talked to Mike Adams' position coach, he felt comfortable that he could play on either side, obviously coming out of college on the left side. And the Steelers looking at him long-term as a left tackle, this makes a lot of sense to me. I thought it would be a little difficult to take Marcus Gilbert after having played right tackle last year, play him at left tackle this year, and then move him back to right tackle next year. This is the Steelers saying, look, we do think Mike Adams is a talented kid who can put this stuff together. And we're going to leave Marcus Gilbert there. Hopefully he's our right tackle for the next 10 years. He's going to play next to DeCastro. Hopefully he's the right guard for the next 10 years. Pouncey's locked up his center for the next 10 years. And then you've got, okay, Colon's over here. He's going to be the left guard. As you said, he's the guy who's got to get in there, get comfortable with it. Willie sounded like he was great with it. No problems being there as a left guard. As you said, Chicago wanted him as a guard. So he's comfortable with the idea of it. He's got the long-term money. He'll get in there. He said he didn't want to have that happen halfway through training camp. So, they know day one what he's going to do and what he has to focus on. And then, as you said, it's Mike Adams at left tackle with the kind of fallback position of either Jonathan Scott or as you said, Max Starks. And, you know, it is the stuff that's this is the stuff in camp that we were excited to see. We're excited to see how they lined up in some of these mini camps. Now we know the answer, and now it's just a question of performance.
Yeah, and let's talk a minute about what it's going to take. Willie Colon was on 93.7 The Fan this morning talking more about the move. And, he's got the biggest transition here. And as he described it, when you're playing tackle, you're more on an island out there. And you're more relying kind of on your athletic ability and not so much worried about the line calls and all like that. Now, moving inside, as he says, you still have to have the athleticism, of course, because the guy's going to be pulling. Hopefully, we're going to see a lot of pulling both ways. We know we're going to be pulling from right to left with DeCastro, and I think Colon will give you the same, if not better, than what you had with Chris Kimoato. Chris Kimoato, when he would pull and he would hit his target, he was deadly. The problem is not every time would he get to and have the agility to hit his man. As Colon says, you have to be more in tune with the line calls, with the scheme going on with inside there. You have to be more in tune with your tackle and when you're doing these switches, especially on these stunts and these twists and all like that. So, that is going to be the biggest adjustment. Here's the thing that I worry about, though, with Mike Adams, and I've said this from day one, is worried about his core strength, okay, about his passion for the game. And I think early on, adapting to the NFL, I think what the Steelers are going to have to do, if they do decide to go with him as a starting left tackle, I think you're going to see a whole hell of a lot of running early on. And why wouldn't you win a new offense, new offensive coordinator there, a couple of new guards, new tackle, and it only would make sense that you would probably run more and take a little bit of the pressure off of both of your rookies in pass protection, more specifically Mike Adams. And let me tell you, until he gets past the first two or three games, assuming he is the starting left tackle, I'm not gonna rest easy. I don't know about you.
I think it's going to be an interesting season. The Steelers are clearly making an investment in making this decision up front in saying, look, this is what we want it to be long term, and maybe we're going to have some growing pains in the process. There's no doubt this is not going to just be a layup. This is the line they want to have in place for the next 3 to 5 years, let's say. But this first year is going to be tough stuff. I mean, look, Ben's going to have two rookies in front of him, and we've talked about on a bunch of these podcasts, no matter who played left tackle, it was going to be the guy's first experience at left tackle as a Pittsburgh Steeler, assuming it wasn't Max Starks. So, if it was Gilbert, if it was Adams, both of these guys would be new guys to the position. We'll see what happens. Mike Adams couldn't have asked for a better situation to come into after all the pre-draft news. Having to visit with the Steelers, he obviously sold them on the character side of things, and the Steelers think enough of him to make this move. This could go down as kind of an all-time type of draft if some of these other guys pan out, but if you get your starting right guard for the long term and your starting left tackle for the long term in the first two rounds, it would just be, this goes from being a position of weakness for the Steelers over the last 5 years to, as somebody said on Twitter yesterday, one of the draft Knicks said, this might be the most improved position group in the entire NFL. Far be it from me to say that I know every position grouping and can make that kind of statement, but that's the kind of improvement people expect to see from this offensive line.
Yeah, and you have, Lynn Pasquarelli wrote this morning, it means Pittsburgh will, if the line holds up as what we're saying, will start a quintet in which four of the players are 24 years or younger, and only Willie Colon is 29 years or older. And I think it said somewhere in here about there's only 44 The new line would only consist of 44 starts over the last two seasons between all five players there. And that, of course, you know, is with Willie Colon missing the last two seasons there. Now let's look at what's kind of happened, what the byproduct of this depth-wise now brings. Ramon Foster, who be honest with you, Ramon Foster, I don't think gets a lot of credit for his play last year at right guard. We thought when DeCastro, before the Willie Colon move was announced, we thought Ramon Foster was probably a shoe-in at the left guard position there now. Willie Colon gives you more mobility than Ramon Foster does. But Ramon Foster really held his own at the position. He offers you great depth there. He can also, in a pinch, God forbid we should have to go through this again, he could swing outside to one of the tackle spots, give you versatility there. You have Doug Legursky, who, of course, can play all three interior positions. Trey Essex, who knows what this means to Trey Essex now, you know, inside there. You know, Trey Essex can play all five spots, probably a jack-of-all-trades, master of none, if you will, on the line. But he can play all those positions. It can also serve as an extra tight end. You know, when you use some of those three tight end sets like the Steelers have done in the past there. So, you know, I think their depth got better, though, as a result of their starters, you know, of this draft, too, because no longer are you relying on Legursky to start at one of the guard positions. No longer are you relying on Ramon Foster to start at one of these positions. I really think you're just Max Starks away from, you know, putting this thing together. And we got some breaking news coming in here, David. The Steelers have waived Trevis Turner.
Yep.
And agreed to terms to Andre Freeman, who I know nothing about there. So
who's a corner.
Yeah, a corner here. So this just coming in from Ed Bouchette over Twitter here. Trevis Turner, of course, was a kid that was on the Steelers practice squad last year. There
yep.
was
huge guy, 6'7", you know, 340, whatever he was.
Yeah, a real mammoth of a guy. And plus, poor guy has three sets of twins.
Yeah, we talked about that. He's and he was down at, I don't can't remember if he was out of TCU, one of the Texas schools, a guy who was, you know, on the practice squad. A guy, you know, maybe that you and I thought maybe this kid, you know, had some long-term potential. So if he's getting cut here on a 90 – with the rosters at 90 to sign a quarterback at a slippery rock, they obviously feel like, you know, this guy's too much of a project, and they've answered so many of their offensive line questions, they don't really need to kind of look to mold other guys for that role. I'm sure that's the thinking behind it, right?
Well, you know, they signed Kyle Jolly back earlier this week, who had spent some time on the Falcons practice squad, and before that was on the Steelers. Well, he was with the Steelers last preseason and bounced around on the practice squad before that, too. But still, yeah, I mean, I could have seen Jolly brought in for more depth here. And something must have happened with Trevis Turner here. I don't know. Maybe he missed a meeting or something. Maybe he just decided he don't want to play anymore. I don't know, you know. But you still – this still kind of sets up, David, for a return of Max Starks, if you know what I'm saying. And you know, that's total speculation here because, I mean, let's face it, Max has not even been cleared by the doctors to return yet. But I think you're a Max Starks away from having – you know, complete A to Z depth and starter what could very well be one of the top offensive lines in the league.
Yeah, and so the question is, if you're the Steelers and you're looking at this situation, you got Jonathan Scott at two a cap hit. You know, you can save a little over $2 million if you release him. You've got Legursky, Foster, and Essex, so you've got center, both guard positions covered as far as backups. And, you know, the question is between the seventh-round pick, the kid that beat him that they drafted out of SMU, between Jonathan Scott, Max Starks, and any of the free agent signees that they have in camp, including Jolly, it's kind of all those guys fighting for one spot. And how comfortable do the Steelers feel with Mike Adams and then who's going to be the guy? I think if they're really comfortable with Mike Adams, you could see Jonathan Scott make the roster. If they're not comfortable with Mike Adams, you know, as you said, Max Starks comes into play, and that might mean Jonathan Scott doesn't have a roster spot, and it's going to be awfully tough for any of these other guys to make the team now. Now, I think Ligurski's a lock because of his versatility and the ability to play center. We saw Essex do it last year, but the other thing would be there is a point where maybe at some point Essex and Foster are battling for a roster spot between them as well.
Well, I tell you, Beecham, you know, even though the kid played left tackle at SMU, this kid is a guard at the next level, like it or not. I mean, that's what he is. I just can't see him playing tackle with his build and lack of mobility, you know, playing even a right tackle position. The kid Ryan Lee, you know, the kid out of Furman there, this guy is an interior guy as well, too. So, you're kind of thin on tackles, you know, without Max Starks on the roster. Jonathan Scott, I refer to him as right tackle Russian roulette. You know, it's kind of like pulling out that 3-year-old bag of fireworks. You light each one off and just make the sign of the cross every time one doesn't blow up in your face. You know, and then you go on to the next one. I mean, the guy did have some good snaps. Albeit few at right tackle, he did not have very many at all at left tackle that were worth noting as good snaps there. But, you know, when you get past Gilbert, when you get past Mike Adams, and you get past Scott, wow, I mean, what are you looking at here? You got Kyle Jolly, Chris Scott. I mean, he showed us last year in camp. They tried everything they could to give him the right guard spot, and then after that tried to give him every opportunity to take some snaps at right tackle, and he failed miserably. I just do not see a way how Chris Scott makes this roster. Travis Turner, of course, was cut today. You know, if you don't bring back Max Starks or another street free agent here pretty soon, I would say your depth at the tackle position, I would say Mike Adams wins left tackle by default.
Right, and that's the question, is how comfortable the Steelers going to feel with, you know, with Mike Adams if he's your starting left tackle? How comfortable are you going to feel with whomever is the backup tackle, whether it's Jonathan Scott? I think if Max Starks comes back, I kind of feel like Max Starks probably, they bring him back, he's the starting left tackle.
I agree. And I think they hold Jonathan Scott now until that happens.
Right. And so I think the better Mike Adams does, I think the less likely it is you see Starks and vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. I mean, they're going into these camps with Marcus Gilbert presumably starting on the right side here. So, you know, if he was going to be making that transition to left tackle, we should see that next week, right?
Yeah, and I think now that's a given that that's not going to happen. I think we're going to see, you know, Gilbert's your locked and loaded right tackle.
I would think so. Now there's a question about Mike Adams next week, whether or not you know, with the graduation rules and all like that, there's still a question of whether or not he's able to participate in that. I asked Mark Cabali about that this morning via Twitter. He's supposed to get back to me on that. I think David DeCastro has graduated because Stanford is another one of those schools like Ohio State where they have those weird, you know, semesters or whatnot. And I think DeCastro's already graduated, though, which means he's not going to have to miss this upcoming OTA session, say, the way Andrew Luck's going to miss it with the Colts. Now, Mike Adams is a different story, being one of these Ohio State kids. There's a very good chance that that Mike Adams might not be present. We'll know, of course, but before that rolls around next week.
And just for those who aren't familiar with the rule is you're not allowed to practice with your team until your school has had its graduation. Ohio State has a late graduation, as you know, a lot of schools go into June these days. So Ohio State's late, and that's the issue. It's obviously seems a bit silly, a bit archaic of a rule that, you know, these guys are trying to get on with their careers, and this is not a particularly significant. Not that not graduating from college is not significant, but a lot of these guys, first of all, are juniors to begin with, probably haven't completed their degree work, and a lot of the seniors haven't done it as well because they spent a lot of their time in their last semester getting ready for the combine, all that kind of stuff. So it seems a little silly to me. I'm sure the NFL doesn't want to, you know, piss off the universities, but that is the rule, and that's why we're discussing, you know, whether Mike Adams can can come and take part next week.
Hey, can you imagine? I'm going to throw this scenario out at you. Let's say Mike Adams is not able to attend next week. And I think, like I said, I think DeCastro is. What if you see fly across Twitter that your starting offensive line on the first practice of the OTA session left or right is Jonathan Scott, Willie Colon, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, and Marcus Gilbert. Can you imagine how Twitter would explode with Jonathan Scott taking the snaps?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's what we're going to see.
The only other thing, I don't see how it could be anything other than that. Like I said, I mean, why would you even give – I mean, I guess you could. I mean, it's still early in the offseason. I guess you could theoretically have Gilbert line up at left tackle there and then Jolly or Jonathan Scott over there at right tackle there. But, I mean, let's face it, they're putting in this new offense and the verbiage and all like that starting this week. And you're probably going to want people as close to where they're supposed to be, you know, where they should be come this week. So just if you're listening, don't be surprised if you see Jonathan Scott get those first team reps at left tackle if indeed Mike Adams is not able to participate there.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see Gilbert take any snaps at left tackle. I think they're just going to kind of leave him be and let him get comfortable. You know, it's only his second year, so I think you'll see him taking the snaps at right tackle, and it will be interesting. And hopefully at some point I get over there this week and get to see some of this up close and personal. So, you know, we've talked about this a lot ever since the draft. The offensive line, a sticking point for the Steelers the past few years, they've addressed it. They've now, I think Dave and I basically agree on this, they've taken the right steps and they've got the right guys in the right spots, and they're doing it from day one. I think that's the best solution. It is the long-term answer, so let's go see what happens early with it. I think it's a bold move by the Steelers. I think it's an aggressive move by the Steelers, and I think it's the right move by the Steelers.
Yeah, and going through some of this history, man, Google, David, and I invite anybody that listens, if you know how to use Google News and go through the archives of some of these old papers, you know, especially like the old Pittsburgh Press from the 70s and the 80s, I want to reemphasize once again, there's only been three rookies, offensive linemen, start week one for the Steelers dating back to 1970. And here's a name that you come across. I don't think I've heard even Ed Bouchette mention this before. Everybody wants to go back to Marvell Smith back in 2000 when he started his rookie season at right tackle. And, of course, we know Marquise Pouncey in 2010 starting at center as a rookie. Tom Ricketts, do you remember that name, David? Is that
sure, right? Sure, the kid out of Pitt.
Yeah, the first-round draft pick. In fact, I think he holds a distinction of only being the only 1B draft pick for the Steelers. That was the year, I think, that they drafted Worley.
Tim Worley, right. The halfback. Yeah.
And Ricketts that year. And week one, the Steelers had some injuries heading into that week one game against the Cleveland Browns, of all people. They had I'm trying to remember who was beat up there. I want to say Terry Long had a knee injury at that time, and John Renestra had two cracked ribs heading into the week one game against Cleveland. So the Steelers had to – here was your left to right offensive line for that week one game, David. You had Craig Wolfley, who was – we all know Wolfley – from ESPN radio and all like that in years with the Steelers. He was normally a guard. He was playing. He started at left tackle. Your left guard was Tom Ricketts, and Ricketts was drafted as a tackle, but he was beat up too. He had a hand or a thumb injury, which they were trying to protect heading into his first game as a rookie. There you had center Damani Dawson, of course. Your left guard was Brian Blankenship. How about that
Holy
name?
Cow, yeah.
How about name from a pass there? And then playing right tackle was Tun Chilkin heading into that game. So you want to talk about a blast from the past there. That was the Steelers' left-to-right starting offensive line week one of 1989 season. And in that game against the Cleveland Browns, David, 51-0 loss.
I remember that one. I do remember that
to
one.
The Cleveland Browns. Bubby Brister sacked six times in that game. Worley, I don't have this right in front of me here. Worley fumbled a couple of times in his inaugural welcome to the NFL thing there. What a disaster. There's a, like I said, if you can go back into the archives of Google, it's from the Pittsburgh Press, September 12th, 1989 edition. Steve Hubbard was the author of this article, and there, that whole paper, there's just I mean, you know what a historian I am of the Steelers and how I love going back and watching these old games. I love going back and catching up and reading stuff on that, but I thought you'd get a kick out of that, throwing a couple of those names at you there. But I, you know, like I said, dating back to 1970, the Steelers have never started two rookies on the line at the same time in week one of the season. So, I mean, this could be a pretty monumental week one here.
Yeah, but that's great stuff, Dave. That's a great story. That 51-0 game was, yeah, that's about as bad as it gets. I'm guessing that's probably in the all-timers for Steeler losses, certainly shutout losses.
Yeah, and you know, the halftime, I think they were down 30-0. There's a clip. You can actually find a clip, David, of a part of that game up on YouTube. In there, and I think they were down 30-0 at the half in that game.
I'm guessing Chuck wasn't too happy at halftime. It had to be about the end of the run for Chuck, right?
Yeah, pretty close, you know. And of course, Brister, Brister and Noel never seemed to get along. Anyway, and I think Noel, later in that week, I think he kind of tried to brush off that Bubby, you know, could have done some things better in that game as well, too. But it's just fascinating going back and looking at this. And one other thing before we get off the offensive line here, your 1986 starting offensive line, Mike Webster's streak, consecutive game streak, was snapped that week one of the 1986 season. Left to right, I'm going to throw these names out at you. Ray Penny, I mean, that's a pretty recognizable name at left tackle there. Randy Rasmussen was your left guard.
Oh, okay.
Dan Turk started at center week one in place of the injured Mike Webster. Terry Long started at right guard. And Mark Benning, was your right tackle to start off there. So if anybody's interested, I have all these week one starting offensive lines from 1970, of course, to 2011 up in a post called Rookies DeCastro and Adams Look to Buck Steelers History by starting week one up on Steelers Depot. It's fun to look at these names, and it's fun to research them and go back on Google on that. So with that, we'll kind of move on to some other Steelers news.
Great stuff, Dave. Let's just get people up to date on the couple of roster moves. We had the kicker we talked about on the last show, the kid out of Missouri, Grant Riesel, I think is his name, was finally, it's announced that he was released and they signed a new kicker.
Danny Hap, it's pronounced Hapman. No, I'm sorry, Ratman is how it's pronounced. The H is silent there. Us Southerners have problems with silent letters. We're not like you Yale graduates, David. But yeah, this kid, last couple seasons at Southern Miss, before that, I think he's sometime at Holy Cross. Listen, this kid is a camp leg. Okay.
Right. And people know, look, they've got machines to do some of the work, but you can't just have your kicker out there blowing his leg out every day at practice. So you need other guys to take some of the work. And so that's what they do. It's a chance to look at a guy, and they may continue to look at other guys here in the off season, but you got to have two legs in camp.
Yeah. And you know, any of these kickers going forward right now until these final cutdowns with other teams start to take place, if Sean Swisham can't get the job done in preseason and there's no confidence there, I think you could see a last-minute roster move of one of these guys cut from another team, possibly brought in. But just a little warning out there, don't run out and buy a Danny Ratman jersey.
Right. And then, as you said, Jolly got signed. We have the move that just happened today with Travis Turner getting cut. The roster stands at 90, so they've now filled all these 90 spots. This number's been changed from 80 to 90, so they get 10 extra bodies under contract. This situation is the of the draft picks, still 7 guys under contract. The first and third round picks have yet to be signed. It's just a logistics thing more than anything, getting guys slotted in front of them, getting that done. We expect that to happen in, kind of in the near term. And then we start OTAs this week, Tuesday to Thursday. And, you know, the as the beat writers will tell you, this is something that, you know, hardly a passing bit of interest in the old days. And now there's so much attention on the NFL and everything that goes on. This will be well covered and well scrutinized, and particularly all this offensive line that we, stuff that we've been talking about. And then the other piece of news, David, is Troy's always had a kind of, you know, he walks to his own drummer or whatever the phrase is. Not this is anything that's that big a deal, whether he decides to train in Southern California or with the team, but he's going to go to at least one of the OTA sessions.
Yeah, source informed me this week that he is planning to be in Pittsburgh next week. You know, like you said, it's not a big, big deal. Troy usually sometimes at times will like to continue his training in Southern California. I'm being told that he's going to be in Pittsburgh for this first OTA session. Of course, these things are not mandatory with the off-season team activities and all, but I think you're going to see a pretty big, I think the list is going to be small, let me say, of veterans not in attendance there. I think you're going to see a real solidarity type, thing with a lot of these guys in town for the first OTA. We also got news today via an interview with Jim Wexel that he had with Brett Kiesel, that Kiesel's pretty much overcame this groin injury that was termed pretty severe in the AFC wildcard game against Denver last year. There was no reports that said he ever needed surgery. At times it looked like he was going to need surgery, but I think he was able to get away with not having that. He is looking forward to getting back on the field. So it seems as if he should be a go next week. Of course, we will not know until these guys actually are on the field and are moving around. And of course, these things are not going to be padded or anything like that. It's going to be football and shorts and helmets for the most part there. So that's some good news there. Moving forward, as far as those two guys, Polamalu and Kiesel, appearing to be going to be in town, of course, this week and be on the field.
Right, and as we said, it'll be well covered. A lot of people paying attention to this stuff. There's not going to be a lot of news out of there. Hopefully, we don't get any injury news. Kind of stuff you we see kind of every week. It seems like a guy goes down somewhere with an injury that unfortunately we've seen some season-ending injuries. So hopefully everybody comes out of this healthy. But as you said, it's a chance to get familiar with the playbook for the offense. I mean, the defense, things aren't going to change much, but in the offense, it's a chance to get familiar with the playbook. And there's been a lot of talk about this, and I don't want to say that it's overblown because, Ben's been basically working out of the same playbook for a long time. But it's something new now and guys in new positions and rookies involved in this stuff. So the more time they have to spend together and get continuity and familiarity with this stuff, obviously the better.
Absolutely. Anybody listening to this, I'm going to be referring to this offense all year long as a Rosetta Stone offense. So if that offends you, so be it. It's fun to play with. It's fun to listen to Ben have fun with it and make his kind of jabs that he's making with it. I think that's Ben just being Ben, if you will. I see nothing wrong with what he did saying it. I think it's a nice little jab to kind of voice his displeasure a few more times with the change, but he's going to get past this. They've been having several meetings, of course, since they've been allowed to meet with the coaches and all moving forward here in May. A few other notes that we have here kind of wrapping up here, David, is Gabe Rivera. How nice uplifting was that to hear that he was elected to the College Football Hall of Fame? He was, of course, the former first-round draft pick of the Steelers that was in that horrible car accident that messed up his spine and made him put him in a wheelchair basically the rest of his life. So he was elected to the College Football Hall of Fame earlier this week, and that was good to see.
Yep, and I guess the highest-paid coaches in sports, the Forbes released a list, and Tomlin comes in as the seventh highest-paid NFL coach at $5.75 million behind Belichick, Shanahan, Fisher, Pete Carroll, Lovie Smith, and Ken Whisenhunt. I don't know how often we've seen the salaries for coaches, and I don't know if I knew before I read this exactly what Cowher, Tomlin was making, I would have put him in the neighborhood of $4 to $5 million. I'm a little surprised that he's seventh highest on the list, but this is a job that Mike Tomlin's going to have for an extended period of time here, unless something goes horrifically wrong. Any surprise to you, David, where he is on the list or how much he's making?
No, and just because he's behind Ken Whisenhunt, I think it's a couple hundred thousand dollars or so, which is that's a couple of dollars to me and you, and he is behind him though, so don't Tomlin would probably tell you otherwise, but where you are is where you are on this right. On this list, and if he's seventh, that means he's behind six others. I bet you wonder how I figured that out. I didn't even have to take my shoes off to do that. But listen, here the speculation is on this that he's coming up towards the end of his last extension that he had. There's a lot of speculation that Tomlin will be extended once again. It could happen as early as the end of this month, David, that we could see Tomlin get another 3 or 4 year extension. I think probably get up in that neighborhood. I don't know, $7 million or so. I reckon right around in there. I doubt he's going to top Belichick, but he's probably going to be up there in the Jeff Fisher range. I can't believe, of the guys on the list here, only two have hardware in their trophy cases, and that's Belichick and Shanahan. So Lovie Smith has been to the big game, as has Ken Whisenhunt, Pete Carroll. Jeff Fisher has been. Jeff Fisher, he made it to the big game too, didn't he?
With the Titans against the Rams. Right.
So you actually have two guys in there with hardware, and three of the other guys in there that have made it to the Super Bowl there. So Tomlin deserves a raise. I think he's going to get it pretty soon. I think that's what a lot of the speculation is going forward as well too. So I would look for that pretty soon.
And I guess the other thing that's of note is LeSean McCoy signed a big deal. Pit boy, obviously, I like seeing those guys do well. We don't see the Eagles very often. We'll see them this year. But he got a five-year extension at $45 million with 20.8 of that guaranteed. It's very much in line with the Arian Foster contract. He got a $41 million extension for 4 years. With 20.75 of that guaranteed. So those numbers are right there, and that's going to affect negotiations for Ray Rice, Matt Forte, Maurice Jones-Drew. These guys are, up for contracts. So interesting numbers, big numbers, really big numbers. I mean, I'm surprised that LeSean McCoy got that much dough, but he's been a productive back. He's a guy, again, we talked a lot before the draft about productivity in college, and then where your measurables are and where you get drafted. And he didn't get drafted, quite as high as some people might have expected based on productivity, but he has certainly been a productive pro, and he just chinged it big time.
He sure did. He got to ring the bell, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And listen, what a great podcast today. We got some more news coming across here. I told you that I was talking to Mark Cabali this morning, checking on the statuses of Mike Adams and David DeCastro. Mark just tweeted, and he seems pretty convincing in this tweet here. He says Mike Adams and David DeCastro are not permitted to take part in any of the 10 OTAs coming up this offseason. They will take part in the mandatory mini camp on June 12th through the 14th. So there we have our answer over the course of this show here. DeCastro, I thought DeCastro had graduated already. So that was one of the reasons I had questions as far as that goes, but perhaps he hasn't walked yet or something like that. I'm not sure, but Mark Cabali just tweeted this out. I talked to him earlier this morning. He was going to check on this. So I guess kind of looking at your OTA left to right line, I guess you could see what? Jonathan Scott, Willie Colon, Marquise Pouncey, Ramon Foster, Marcus Gilbert, huh?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It is a little bit unfortunate those guys won't be there.
It's a stupid rule, isn't it?
Well, certainly when it impacts things like that for the Steelers, it seems like a stupid rule. Yeah, these guys are trying to get on with their life's work, and not being able to do this. This certainly is a little bit of a hitch in the CBA that's going to set the Steelers back a little bit more than they would like. I'm sure those 10 practices, that time on the field would be valuable time for these guys. So, yeah, that's too bad. That's bad. That's unfortunate news. And, you know, it's just going to make Mike Adams' job a little bit tougher.
And, well, I tell you what, you know, when you look at how these guys line up, if Marcus Gilbert is at right tackle, even with Mike Adams not there, that pretty much is going to be a telltale sign right there for starters. The only other thing I think we can glean for this is who gets a start at right guard with the absence of DeCastro. And to me, there's no reason why it wouldn't be Ramon Foster. As I said earlier in the podcast, I really thought he represented himself well at the position last year. But yeah, I mean, this slows down the development of these guys. Although, you know, David DeCastro, there's still no doubt in my mind he's going to be the week one starter. But, you know, Mike Adams, I think we both agree, that kid really needs these sessions.
Yeah. So a little bit of tough news there. I'm not really a lot of other news around the NFL to talk about, Dave. Anything before we close here on what's going on? Again, Dave and I want to thank everybody for the donations. They keep coming in, and it means a lot to us. So we appreciate all that. And if you want to donate, you can go to SteelersDepot.com and hit the button, the link that Dave has set up through PayPal. The Steelers will open it up on Tuesday. Dave, anything to close?
No, I think we about got it there. We covered a lot on this offensive line. You know, give us some feedback on our talk about the offensive line if you want to. You can hit us on Twitter at Steelers Depot, at Hammer Speaks, at Terrible Podcast. The email is show theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Respond to some of these posts I have up. We've got some good dialogue going on there as well, too. And, you know, like to hear your rebuttal on this to what me and Dave talked about today as well, too. And we've been efforting some interviews. None of them came through this week. We're going to keep after it. This is kind of a tough time of the season when these guys are headed back to these OTA sessions, current players. Going to work on a few former players here, try to get them in for interviews as well, too. And once again, as David said, we appreciate the support and we appreciate the donations that have come in. We appreciate all of our listeners.
Yep, great stuff. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.